is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But hold your calls, please, because we have a good friend, Ron Wilson, from Easley, South Carolina, and Ron puts out a financial newsletter. He is Atlantic Bullion and Coin, and we always like to get him on about once a month to sort of bring us up to date on what's happening in the world financially. And I will tell you, exciting things are happening for the first time in many years, well, since Y2K. We're beginning to see a solid upward move in gold. And if you notice, the Wall Street Journal has, if you read the commodity pages, always before they would tell you when things went up, they'd put a plus next to the number and then a minus next to the number if it went down. Now they just put a minus next to the number, but they've dropped the pluses. So you're not really being able, if you glance at the pages, to see that I think we're moving into a real upward move within commodities, which is going to reflect the inflation. What do you think, Ron, as you look at what's going on?
Well, there's no question that this whole year, gold has been telling us that there are problems that are not as manageable as they have been in the past, because gold has had its most closes above 300 that it's had in about 4 years, and it's in over 4 years. It's today's close, along with the last couple of days, we've had the highest closes in about 3.5 years, and gold is the best barometer. I've been on the road, so you and I talked briefly before the program went on. I haven't, kept up with the day-to-day blows of what's going on around the world, such as what you were telling me about in Argentina. But when you look at the price of gold, it reflects what the news is, no matter what is being reported. And gold is clearly telling us that there are some tough financial times ahead, perhaps for our dollar, perhaps for other areas of the world. But it is not, in other words, we're entering an era where that would be less manageable by the powers that be than perhaps that they've been able to do over the last several years. So I would say that this, I couldn't agree with you more, that we've seen an upward trend in both gold and silver. Silver has been less dramatic than gold, but silver always has a very rapid catch-up. Silver can go 75 cents or so in 2 or 3 days, and, boom, it's there. And gold tends to really grind it out. And gold right now, it just clears the nose on your face if you've been watching this stuff for many years. In fact, including Y2K, we still have the most closes above the $300 level that we've had in now almost 4 years. And people should take a real look at this because, I remember back 12 years ago or so when we had the Persian Gulf War, and I think I may have told this story before, but I had a guy call in and he says, "Well, Ronnie, I got this gold, and here we are at war, and the price is going down." He said, "This stuff doesn't work anymore." I said, "No, but gold works beautifully. Gold's telling you this is not a war, that it's very contained, very controlled, and there's going to be no long-time ramifications for it." And that was exactly what happened. But what we've seen happen in the last few months, and since 9/11, but gold didn't immediately jump over 300 after 9/11. It was about January this year we got up over it, then again in February, and now we've been above it now for quite some time. But what people need to look at is that the gold is saying all of this war on terrorism that we said our president told us might be 50 years, all of this stuff has potential to get out of the control of the powers that be, and gold is saying exactly that. Now, I don't think we're off to the moon here, but I do think that we're going to see gold. In fact, every major brokerage house now, I don't care who it is, all of them have upped their projections for gold this year. And it's going to, you know, we've made a turnaround here, a major turnaround. We're not going to see gold retreat back down into the 260 area or the 250 area. I don't think we're off to any $700 or $800 either. But I think what we're going to see is, it's very likely now that by the end of this year, we could get to $400 level perhaps. I don't know that that will hold that level by the end of the year, but I think we're going to hit it, and it'll be the first time in, it'll be 8 or 9 years that we've hit that. But I think we're going to do it, and, we may retreat back down to 270, I mean, excuse me, 375 or something like that. But, you know, the next level here is we gotta have a few closes above 310. Then the next level becomes pretty important, will be, the 320, 325 area. And then the next one will be something in the neighborhood of 350. And, gold is alive and doing very well right now. And I'll remind the listeners, you're not hearing any central banks talking about selling gold right now. And,
I think really what's so interesting is the fact that in Argentina, they've simply closed the banks. Now, before then, they would let you take out, a couple of $100 a week to live on. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, they've closed the banks, because of course the money was leaving the country. People were getting money out. And the stores are empty. How do you buy food if you don't have any money? How do you buy gasoline? Many of the employers can't pay their people. This has been for 4 days in Argentina. People don't understand the enormity of what's really happening down there. Of course, they're saying, we need help from the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund. And the most logical thing would be to simply advance money, or some of the foreign bankers, because I think about 70% of the 7 of the 10 largest banks in Argentina are foreign banks, and they're not bringing any money in there. They are intentionally precipitating this crisis. This is what's so frightening. I don't know what they're up to, but I will tell you that the people, the middle class of Argentina, will be totally destroyed.
Well, it doesn't make any, when they get ready to do these things, it doesn't make any difference what the rules are or the laws say. I mean, when we had the Great Depression, the laws that were on the bank book and the governing rules that were there for the Fed said we were to maintain an elastic currency to supply the needs of the country. But during and just prior to the Great Depression, they restricted the money supply severely and held it there.
And we're going to have to break right there, but in my estimation, they did it intentionally. If you doubt that, we have an interview with Milton Friedman in a video called The Money Monopoly Men, that actually you'll hear Milton Friedman saying that. But right now, we want to remind our listeners, one of the things that you can do to help us is to change your long-distance carrier. It doesn't cost you anything. Hopefully change it over to Promise Vision. This is a Christian long-distance carrier. We've known the people there for a long period of time. And you simply call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. And they'll change you over without any cost to you at all. Their prices are very, very competitive. And, of course, 15% of whatever your long-distance bill is, it comes back to Radio Liberty. And we hope if enough of you certainly change over, why, this will be a big help to our ministry, and we can continue expanding what we're doing. Again, the number 866-448-5631. And the beauty of this is when you call, you get a real person, not like when you call AT&T or MCI and you go around on that electronic circuit, as I did for 45 minutes one time this week, just trying to get to a live human being. And just before you get to them, why, they hang up on you. But not with Promise Vision. You'll enjoy it, I'm sure. And then, of course, we want to mention, of course, that we carry the Phenopoly sets. And if you have a child or a grandchild in a government school, you need to teach them to read phonetically, to spell phonetically, and, of course, to learn to pronounce words phonetically. Phenopoly is 5 board games plus 2 bonus games played like Monopoly, and in about 20 hours you can begin to reprogram their minds and then do all the damage the government has done. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-544-8927, and ask for a Phenopoly set. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about, why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest today is Ron Wilson. We're talking about what's happening in the world financially. We've just talked about the chaos that is developing, certainly in Argentina. What's happening in the rest of the world, and what's happening here in America as we see all the layoffs we see day after day, so many of our major stocks reaching new lows. We find, you know, the profits of many of our major corporations are way, way, way down.
Well, all people have to do in America, and we'll talk about Japan and some other places here in a minute, but we said in our newsletter that we sent out in back in early March, we said, look, it sounds like last year all over again. Before 9/11, no one was admitting that we were in recession. They wouldn't talk about it. They wouldn't discuss it. They wouldn't look at what was obviously there. But after 9/11 hit, well, they had something to blame it on, so then all of a sudden, everybody almost instantly talks about recession. And they've continued to do that until about December, just after Christmas, and they thought, you know, that we're looking better, the reports are sounding better, we're going to really be doing well by the summer. And then, of course, about, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, Chairman Greenspan got out jawboning and cheerleading and said that he thought we were probably coming out of it. And now, all of a sudden, for the last couple of weeks, we're getting terrible earnings reports. We said in that report in March that we thought there was no question in our mind that the Dow, the leading stock index, would make its high of the year in the first quarter. We believe that happened. And when you look at what's going on and the way that this market's acting, and you keep seeing, as you accurately described it a moment ago, we don't have hirings, we have layoffs. They're continuing, not just in some sections of the country, but in most sections of the country. We have, if we're turning around doing so well, why hadn't the Fed raised interest rates at least a quarter point? They haven't done it, don't look like they're going to. In fact, I would say the way things are going, there's a likelihood that we could see a drop of a quarter point or something of that nature. Things are just not like they said, and we haven't turned this corner. And in this country, people that are especially retired or getting near retirement, they should watch their 401ks like a hawk. They better look that thing. Don't take what their companies say about how sound it is. They need to check and see what all the options are in those plans. They need to be ready to do something in case we see more of this. Now, the Enron scare, Global Crossing, all these things that have happened, when I say scare, I'm talking about the 401ks, you need, I don't care how solid your company is, I don't care how much confidence you have in their management, you better look at the figures and look at it in black and white. We'll go through some categories here right quick. I think the stock market hit its high, as I said, in the first quarter. I think also, we're seeing the NASDAQ now. I think it hit its high. I think it could go a lot lower here this year. It's very vulnerable. Interest rates are likely to stay about flat, maybe with a little slight bias to a little bit lower, but not overwhelming. Real estate is something that if you're in an area where real estate's hot, and it's, let's say it's investment real estate, it's not your home, if it's hot there and you can unload it, you better unload it, because we could see some real imploding of real estate prices, and we've already seen that in some areas. It's awfully soft where I live in South Carolina, and that hasn't been the case for a long time. Now, the high-end stuff, you know, the $1 million and $2 million houses are still okay. It's that vast middle class, that stuff from around 100 to 300, that's really beginning to get soft. And that's, I'm told, that's not only where I live, but getting soft in a lot of other areas of the country. So people need to watch that. Oil prices, I think oil prices are going to start, they're already up, but they're going to go higher. We're going to see them, I believe, into the $30 level here. And people should remember, what started this recession a year and a half ago was high oil prices, very, very high oil prices. Now, as soon as we got into trouble, had 9/11 and other things, the Fed did a couple of things. They lowered interest rates very rapidly, expanded the money supply unbelievably, and then at the same time, this oil prices started coming down and got to its lowest level during the heat of the aftermath of 9/11. Now, since this so-called war on terrorism and our president poking his finger in the eye of a lot of the Arab countries, now all of a sudden we're seeing a lot of the more radical elements and some of the more moderate states saying it's time to raise the oil price. So I think we're going to see oil prices a lot higher. Oil prices where they are right now will stymie the recovery if we ever had one. And that's there, and it's going to stay. And I think there's a fairly safe bet that oil prices will go higher here. So I would say that from our point of view, what I see here, we're not coming out of this. We're at best right now stagnant, sort of treading water, and we may get the second shoe to fall here shortly as more and more of these reports keep coming out. Now, as far as Japan is one of the reasons that gold is doing as well as it's doing. This country, for the last several months, its citizens have been buying gold. These are people, some of the smartest people on the planet. And when they got a whiff of the fact that their FDIC was going to be severely diminished and lowered, their FDIC was unlimited.
Now, basically, for our listeners, that means that if you have money in the bank and the bank goes under, why the government or some bureau will give you the money back. But the trouble is, most of Japan's banks, which a decade ago, 8 of the 10 largest banks in the world were, of course, Japanese banks.
Yep.
Today, many of these banks are penny stocks, and they're on the verge of collapse. And, of course, then the government says, well, gee, if they collapse, you know, we don't have the money to bail the depositors out. So they've restricted it to what, about $75,000?
Well, no, $75,000.
Right.
And some people, I know a lot of people listening, well, gosh, that'd be pretty good. But you got to remember, the Japanese are the group that has the highest percent of savings out of any country, and also the largest amount. These people are very frugal in the way they live. So $75,000 was not going to cover very many people, because most of them had considerably more than that. And so they went, looked around, knew this was coming, and it happened on April the 1st of this year, just a few days ago. And so when that happened, what did the Japanese do? They didn't need anybody to tell them. They didn't need some prognosticator or some guru to tell them anything. They didn't need that. They went right back to history and said, okay, the store value is gold. That's where we're going to put it. Excuse me. And that's exactly what they did. And that's one of the underpinnings to this market.
Now, how much gold have they bought? Do you have any idea how much, what impact have they had?
I don't know. That'd be interesting. I could find that out, at least get a pretty good thing, and I'll have it ready for our next program, maybe. But when you get a large amount of people buying, you can run into tons real quick with gold. And so I'm sure, without any hesitation, I would not be incorrect at all in saying several tons. And it's in the hands of a lot of Japanese. And these people are very, very intelligent, and they knew where to take their money. And that's what they've done.
And, of course, you know, the savings banks over there were only paying less than 1% interest.
Yes.
And those who have invested in gold have made at least a 10% increase in their investment, up to even pushing 20% in the last, say, a few months. So, That's pretty good income. And of course, when other people see that, why more and more of the people may very well begin investing. We're talking about the second largest economy in the world. Suddenly is bottomed out and there's no hope in sight. And the people there are beginning to lose faith in their currency and they're beginning to move in gold. And that may very well begin a cascading effect. What do you think?
Oh, it could be. And I've said on this program before, the big news over the last several months has been not that the central banks were selling, but who was buying. Well, I can tell you in some cases it was certainly the Japanese bought up some of that. Now, they didn't buy up as much as the banks had sold, but someone did, and that's the story. And I think the someone largely were the people that run the central banks. And now those banks look pretty silly because they sold at 260, maybe 270 an ounce. And gold today's close was around 307, 308.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Richard calling in from Miami. Richard, you got 1 minute to ask your question, and then you can hang on till after the break, okay?
Do you want me to hang up?
No, go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, I just had wanted to touch on the double-edged sword of the roller coaster rides of fiat money.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I'll touch on it. You've got about 40 seconds.
Okay. Well, it's really simple. I mean, as the roller coaster goes up, the public gets extorted. As the roller coaster goes down, they eliminate competition more and more.
And of course, then we see the consolidation of wealth in the hands of the very wealthy, and we see this massive transfer of wealth when people can't, of course, pay off their loans. Hey, we're going to have to run for a. If you want to hang on, you can. Ron, do you want to hang on or not?
Okay, I'll hang on.
Okay, fine. Talk to you, and you can call back if you want to.
Okay, I'll call back. Okay,
okay, fine. Bye-bye. But right now, of course, we certainly want to have to interrupt here and mention that we carry Miracle Soap products. Why do we carry medical two soap products? Well, we think that they're good products, and of course, a lot of our listeners have been very happy with them, and some of them have amazing, amazing stories. We'll tell you one thing, we guarantee it's excellent soap, and I've used it for some time, and it's sort of nice not to have any soap residue at all after you've used it, and certainly my wife uses it. It helps her gastric reflux. That's the neutralizer. They're actually regular soap products. They're moisturizing soap products. There's a neutralizer. There is a lotion and a gel, and you can get all five of those by the introductory packet, or if you'd like more information on Miracle 2 products, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you can give them a call right now. And then, of course, we want to also mention that if you really want to understand how this all fits together, we have a section in my book on the finances, my Brotherhood of Darkness book. One of the best books I know is The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin. And then we have The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Anthony Sutton. Professor Sutton used to be at Hoover Institute. And one of the best videos we have is entitled The Monopoly Men. And you'll actually hear there Milton Friedman saying the Great Depression was created by the Federal Reserve System intentionally restricting the money supply. Now, why did they do that? Why, then they could justify calling in all the gold and putting us on to a fiat money system that they could control, where they could create money out of nothing and make great profits. But that has been used to buy up our media, to buy up our industry, and to centralize wealth in the hands of a very small group. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5 HIV war. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Ron Wilson. Ron, how can people get in touch with you and get a free copy of your regular newsletter?
Sure. We'll have another edition coming out here in about 2 or 3 weeks. It's absolutely free. All they have to do is call us. Now, if they're already getting it or have received a copy this year, you don't have to call. You'll automatically get it. But if you haven't received it and you'd like to have it, just call us at 1-800-327-8606. That's 800-327-8606. Leave us your name and address, and we'll get that newsletter out to you Monday or Tuesday.
All right, fine. That's 800-327-8606.
Right.
Pardon me, 8327-8606. So, and of course, Ron has a very, very good overall perspective of what's happening. Really, when you get into a recession, aren't you seeing a massive transfer of wealth from weak hands to strong hands?
Oh, sure. And of course, this is always done with the central banks making out like bandits on everything. You are seeing it that way. This particular one, I have said for some time, I think we're dealing with a situation where they're really interested in confiscation of, perhaps our freedom is at stake here, and a lot of our whole way of life. So I'm not so sure that they're not warding off. And I think one of the reasons that they cut back the interest rate so aggressively, this seems almost like a contradiction, but it's not, is that I think there is this major concern on their part about an area of deflation. Now, it sort of sounds like a contradiction, but if you take what happened, and when I say deflation, I'm talking about classical deflation, not just the symptoms of it. Japan, for 11 years now, basically has been going through deflation.
And by that you mean prices coming down, prices of cars, prices of land.
Yep.
Land was just so overinflated there.
That's right, and so was their Nikkei. Everybody forgets that, but about 11 years ago, their Nikkei was at 38,000. Today, they're thrilled to death when it stays in 10 to 12,000. So, I mean, they've lost 60 or 70% of the value of their stock market. Real estate prices have just imploded. Now, we have such short memories, and that's why these guys get by with everything so well, because we can't seem to remember anything anybody does. But I'll just remind people, it wasn't too long ago, or too many years ago, that, the Japanese bought up Rockefeller Center, Pebble Beach. My goodness, they were buying up everything. Hawaii. Well, they don't own those things today. And the reason for it is everything at home started imploding on them, and it's still doing it. I mean, these are not stupid people, and they've had their interest rates down to 1%. Ours is 1.75%, so we've got Japanese rates now. And it shows you how rapidly our Fed moved. Now, this little cheerleading session we saw 6 or 7 weeks ago, which is all it was about, I think we're coming out of it, by Alan Greenspan, they knew full well we're not coming out of this yet. Now, the jury's still out. Now, have they done enough rapidly enough? Have they also, on the other side of the coin, created so much liquidity and spending, and they've got government spending enormous sums of money in this so-called war on terrorism? So you've got a lot of things being pushed, but it's not being pushed or generated from the private sector. It's being done by the government, which is a big part of our gross domestic product. But when you get down to it, that's not sustainable, because that's based on taxing you and me and creation of money. And those things are not sustainable. But when you look at what the Japanese have seen, I think that the Fed here is very concerned with seeing real estate prices start to implode. I think they know full well that this stock market is, the Dow I'm speaking of here, is grossly overpriced and should come down to some reasonable level. And they know it's going to happen eventually, because market forces have a way of cleansing the bad and stupid policies that's been done. And so that's what's happened in Japan. It's taken 11 years to try to purge and get rid of all the bad policies that Japan was involved in for many, many decades.
Well, but isn't that same thing hold true here? I mean, we have an artificial inflation in property values. We have, the prices have been kept artificially low for our commodities, prices high in the housing market and things of that sort. But eventually things have to get back to some sort of a sense of normality. The problem we have in America is the massive debt of so many of our corporations and the massive debt of the average American.
Yes. And that massive debt of the average American is growing. I haven't seen the latest statistics, but at one point this year it was growing faster than the corporate debts. And people seem to sort of think that they're going to always have these jobs, are going to always do well. And we are raising a generation of Americans, unfortunately, our children and grandchildren, who want what their parents spent a lifetime accumulating. They want it literally overnight. And so what they do, they go out and they borrow. And a lot of banks and a lot of institutions are happy to accommodate them until they reach the point to where they can't even service their own debts and they lose things. But that's the kind of greed, and that's the kind of things we've seen enter into America and in our society, which is very destructive, and all this stuff will have to be washed out.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things, Ron, is that they changed the bankruptcy laws. It used to be that, going into bankruptcy was like getting a divorce. You know, it was an easy thing to do. But somebody anticipated exactly what's happening, because I have a feeling that so much of what's going on is scripted. And somebody knew it was going to happen, and they changed those bankruptcy laws to make it increasingly difficult to actually go into bankruptcy. And then, of course, we see increasingly many of our major corporations, like the steel industry, you know, has all these obligations to their workers, supposed to have a retirement plan for them, and they're all going bankrupt. There's no retirement plan, and all of these people were planning on having some money when they retired. It isn't there.
Well, and in South Carolina, the backbone of South Carolina for many, many years, for several decades, was the textile industry. It was the industry that employed more people in South Carolina than any industry. And the textile industry is, I mean, we've got companies in South Carolina now that have been around literally for 100 years that are now, in the last 2 years, have simply ceased to exist. And we've got this, I'm told, in other areas of the country too, old line families and companies that were around for many, many, many years, and they're just not there anymore. And these should be disturbing trends to us, because the key component of gauging a nation's wealth is the manufacturing base of that nation. And ours is dwindling every year. I mean, not a little bit, but an awful lot. And we are rapidly becoming nothing but a service industry, and no economy can be sustained from a service industry.
And that is exactly what the planners planned. That's what NAFTA was about. That's what the World Trade Organization is out. And that is why our great banks have built up communist China and transferred our industries over there from here. And pretty soon, of course, we'll have a lot of jobs flipping hamburgers. But we're not going to have that many jobs, you know, in the computer industry, because we can transfer the making of construction and even the planning of computers overseas at a much lower level. We've got Dave calling from Illinois. Hi, Dave. Question or comment?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, your guest kind of jumped on my subject there. I want to call in and talk about the fact we're losing manufacturing. I get so annoyed by the major media talking like the dollar is our economy. It's not anymore. I think at least half those who benefit from those companies' profits aren't even Americans anymore. So it's not even our economy. So I guess my question is, like you just alluded to, let's project 20 years into the future, 20, 30 years in the future, where we have almost no manufacturing here, okay? Mm-hmm. And the only jobs would be a livable wage would be professional and technical. With our totally poor public schools, I can see the mass Americans not able to do those good jobs, so we're going to be a third world country.
Well, let me tell you what, there's a plan for this that even I, a few years ago, I wondered how in the world they would ever achieve this goal. And Dr. Monteith knows very well where I'm headed here. It's in the book Foundation, when Norman Dodd interviewed Roland Gaither of the Ford Foundation. He said they've been operating under a presidential directive so to alter and change the political structure of the Soviet Union and the U.S. that they could be comfortably merged and a one world government. Well, in those years, I mean, we don't have the Soviet Union anymore, but we certainly have Russia and everything that it Soviet Union had, and their standard of living has been elevated through multinational corporations spending money there, World Bank, on and on and on, and we watched ours steadily decrease. And so we are losing, and how's it been? It's been done by the loss of high-paying jobs, as the caller said, manufacturing jobs. The manufacturing base is slowly but surely being moved out of the country. So when you look at that, they have done exactly what they said they would do 50 years ago. And we're watching that happen right before our eyes.
And that's why, you know, when you watch nightly news, which I don't usually waste my time doing, but they talk about the Dow. I'm sick of hearing about the Dow. The Dow means nothing to me. I'm not in the stock market.
Yep.
The Dow affects a bunch of big shots. I ask a lot of people who have their full 1K programs at work. I guess it affects their retirement. But, you know, I almost ignore the stock market myself because it's without industry, without those blue chip jobs, really the Dow means almost nothing anymore when you think about it.
I think, Dave, what they're doing is it's an illusion. Everything is an illusion. If they can focus your attention on the Dow, you're not going to see what's really happening in the stock market, which you'll tell more about from the S&P. Isn't that right, Ron?
Absolutely. The S&P and the NASDAQ, can't think of the other one, the one that's 2,000 stocks in it.
The S&P 500?
Well, no, there's another one. It's got the guy's name, and I'm just not pulling it up.
That's not the Russell.
Russell.
Okay, right.
Yeah, the Russell 2000. All of those are much better gauges of what the stock market is doing than the Dow. The Dow is just 30 stocks, and they're ever changing. I mean, they're not. If you look back to where they were 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, they're not the same 30. And they're always dropping out the weak sisters and bringing up the, you know, what they think is going to be the next big bull. And it's just clear that I couldn't agree with you more. The Dow is not the best gauge for the economy. At all, and it's not even the best gauge for the overall stock market. And you're very smart not to pay any attention to it. If you want to look, you look at the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ, a couple of years ago, about 26 months ago, was at 5,200. Now they're thrilled to death if it's above 18. So, I mean, that tells you how much of a hit that it's taken, and I personally do not believe it's anywhere near its bottom. And so at some point, the Dow will cave in and will give up the ghost and will join the rest of them. But until it does, you can rest assured they're going to talk about it every night on Nightly News.
We're going to have to take a break, Dave. You want to hang on?
I want one more thing.
All right, fine. Well, then right now, of course, I have to tell our listeners, Radio Liberty is listener supported, and we, quite frankly, need your help to do what we do. And, of course, as you know, we're on shortwave 2 hours a day and satellite 3 hours and Internet 5 hours. We, quite frankly, need your help to get the truth out across America. And more people are listening. We can tell that from the response we're getting. But if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us do what we do, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, you can get our 4 best tapes of the month and our monthly newsletter. Some people just want to subscribe to the newsletter for $25 a month. That's fine. Whatever you can do to help will be appreciated, because that's how we're able now to reach out across America. And really, an awful lot of people are telling other people who are telling other people, and they're listening either on the Internet or on the satellite or on shortwave, or to some of the stations that we have for our Saturday, and many of our other programs are actually pulled down by other major stations. So please, if you believe that there's a problem, if you want to help us make the American people aware of the fact that, as Dave said, we're transferring our wealth overseas. You think things are going to continue as they are? Not at all. And behind that, of course, is the reality that whenever a nation turns against God, God eventually turns against that nation and destroys it. And if you think that God is going to honor this pagan nation that this has become, because the churches have allowed the Supreme Court, which starts every day with a statement, God bless the United States and this court, and those wicked justices have taken prayer out of our schools, how could they take God out of our schools when they start with a prayer? because they hate Christianity and they hate America. And why don't the churches speak out? Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. And Dr. Day was actually the medical director of Planned Parenthood, but we've got Dave on the line. Dave, do you have another point you want to make?
I have my own way of measuring the economy. Let me lay it on real quick here. My yardstick of the economy is like three basic questions. Question one is, how is the average family doing? I don't mean what kind of car they drive. With credit, people can drive cars they can't really afford. I mean, how much are they saving? How much are they stuffing the bank after expenses? That's what I mean by how they're doing. Question two would be, what's the true buying power of the dollar? What's the dollar really worth? That's the second question. The third question would be, what's the true unemployment rate? And the first question, most people are in hock up their eyeballs. They're not saving hardly anything. Second question, as you guys both know, the dollar's worth about 25 cents. It's lost values. And the third question, the unemployment's a little higher than we're being told. So those questions really measure the economy in my mind. And all three are very, very anemic. That's how I measure the economy.
All right, let's get Ron's response. And thanks so much, Dave. What's your response to what Dave was saying?
Well, I think he's asked the sensible questions. I mean, what does a family have after it pays all of its bills? There's no question that people are living way beyond their means. And the second thing, what's the dollar really worth? The $1,900 today is worth slightly over a penny. So, I mean, that gives you an idea of what's happened. You know, and people would say, oh, you know, they would never destroy our currency. They've done it. It just took them a century to do it. So, I mean, it's not a thing of, it won't happen here. It's already happened here. And gold is one of those things that simply reflects bad policy. And, it doesn't mean it reflects it every day or every week or something. But what we're seeing today with the rise in the prices is, that there's difficulty on the horizon. And so I think what this gentleman just laid out is basically the right thing.
I agree with you totally, and I think, Dave, and I think that people have to understand that so much of what you hear on CNBC and all these news and business programs is simply pablum to keep people from understanding what's really going on. We have a totally managed fiat money system, and it's beginning to implode throughout the world. And, of course, as Osama bin Laden said, the major way to attack America is to attack them financially.
Right.
And we are doing everything we can to inflame the anger of 1.25 billion Muslims throughout the world. And if we go to war with Iraq, which obviously is what they've been planning, and they were planning this back in 1998, in fact, all of this group that's within the administration now is planning on a war with Iraq at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to a war with Iraq, and we may be opening a Pandora's box, letting the genie out of the bottle. And when that happens, we may not be able to get the genie back in again.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And, I mean, all you got to do is look at how polarizing this whole situation is in the Middle East to know that all we've been doing is standing or sticking our finger in the eyes of most of the countries in the Middle East. And, you know, when you keep doing that long enough, hard enough, and have a policy like we've seen over the last few years, you're certainly going to polarize people and make them very angry. And I agree with you. I don't think there's any question that we're going to go to war with Iraq. It's simply a matter of when and how largely that the propagation of that, propagating of that could take place. My guess is we'll do it sort of like we did in Afghanistan. We'll probably use the Kurds up in the north and try to arm them and get them involved. But all of this is silly. And but we seem to be right now the bully of the world. And we're sending everybody around everywhere to line up according to whatever the New World Order wants and thinks. And we just got a president that sounds very convincing when he does it.
Well, I think that people have to really look beyond. I mean, Saddam Hussein is a very evil man.
Yes.
But remember, we backed Saddam Hussein when he used poison gas on the Kurds in the north. And we backed Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraqi war, all the during the 1980s when he used poison gas on the Iranians.
That's right.
And he was our fairhead boy right up until 1990. And then, of course, we turned on him and got, you know, and told him to go ahead and invade Kuwait. When he did it, we were at war. And then we left him in power.
Sure.
Is there anybody out there who really believes that we couldn't have taken Saddam Hussein out of power in 1990 or believes of the lame excuses that were used at that time? We created Saddam Hussein. We're going to destroy him. In the process, we may very well destroy America, because if we get the Arabs mad at us and they boycott oil to us, or they demand payment for their oil in euro dollars, and American dollar is no longer the reserve currency of the world, hang on to your hat, ladies and gentlemen. You better be out of debt. You better be prepared for bad times. And with that, of course, you better be prepared for a police state in America.
That's exactly right. And you're right. I mean, we put Saddam there just like we built bin Laden, just like we built Mao in China. You can go all around the world, the dictators, and you'll find that we put them there one way or the other for the purpose of bringing about this amalgamation and this formation of a new world order and a super world government.
Amen to that. And that behind that, the spiritual forces. But
yes,
you know, we can certainly look at historically what's happened, and none of it makes sense unless you understand there is a completely total different agenda behind what's going on. Well, what should our listeners do, Ron, today to protect themselves? Because that's what they're asking. We're giving them a bad scenario.
Yep.
What are they going to do faced with the information you've given them?
Well, if those that want to, if they want some regular information coming, and we change this based on whatever the material is that we can get our hands on and read. But if they want our newsletter, all they got to do is call us at 1-800-327-8606.
That's 800-327-8606, right?
Yes, that's it. And all they got to do is leave their name and address, and we'll get a packet out to them. And we have been pretty good with that thing. We've certainly had times when we were wrong. But for the last year or so, we've been pretty accurate with it, and we believe pretty timely. And if people had followed our advice over the last 16 or 18 months, they would have sure stayed away from a lot of the losses that their friends have. And if they want that information, all they can do is call us. The second thing I would say they need to be doing, always enjoy being on with you. This program needs to continue, needs to be expanded. And I would urge people to support Radio Liberty to whatever level they can, to make sure this voice is never extinguished.
Well, thank you so very, very much. I appreciate that. We want to just briefly tell our listeners what you think about silver as an investment, because, you know, I think this may be one of the things that will be fairly safe. It's not going to fall very much, and it really has the potential for a tremendous upside move, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I hinted at this earlier. Silver is one of those things that almost always lags behind gold. Gold is almost always the one that begins the move. And but then at some point, you see a tremendous move out of silver, and this is true every time you had a movement upward in silver. I mean, this occurred in 87, it occurred in 79, it occurred again in 80 and 81. And so when you look at it, that happens. And silver has really laid back here, even though it's went from $4 to up to where it is today, which is about 465 or something. But people, if they're looking for something, it's still probably hasn't had anywhere near where it's going to go, and a fairly safe look at some purchase, it would certainly be silver. And I'm a big believer in it. I've always favored silver over gold, and I think those that have been looking around and waiting, they'd be hard-pressed to find a better time to move on silver than now.
Well, there's really a shortage of silver in the world market, isn't there?
Yeah, we've had this, and people might say, well, if it is, how come it's so low? A lot of that's been camouflaged over the years with the leasing of silver by the big holders, the people like a George Soros or a Warren Buffett. You know, they have millions and millions of ounces. They don't just sit on it. They lease it. Well, if those leases, they've been rolling these leases now for a number of years, and as soon as those guys finally decide they're not going to lease anymore, then the people who have been leasing it from them will have to go out and scramble and make up the consumption level that they've had out of those contracts, which in some cases could be considerable. And you put that kind of stress on the market, and it's just not out there.
All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Ron Wilson. Again, his telephone number, 1-800-327-8606. And, Ron, I want to thank you so very much for being with our guest, and, you know, for providing information for people so that at least they'll have some grasp of what's going on. You're certainly not going to get it by listening to the controlled media.
That's right. And it's always my pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Ron Wilson from Atlantic Bullion and Coin. And of course, we just bring him on about every month so that we can give you some financial advice. I'm not giving you advice. I'm not a financial advisor, and neither is he. But he certainly is a clear observer of what's going on in the world today. And the one thing I can tell you without any hesitation is we are in very, very difficult financial times. Oh, our national debt is over about $6 trillion. And that is simply the national debt that they talk about. By the time you get around to the corporate debt, by the time you get around to all the other debts that our federal government has, unfunded pension plans, why we are going to be in some very, very difficult times. They have artificially kept down commodity prices for a long period of time to the point where we're at the turn of the century. Wheat was about $1 a bushel. Now it's about $3 a bushel, whereas the dollar is worth about 1 cent of what it was at that time. I think you have to understand that everything is manipulated. They've manipulated the commodity markets, the gold markets, but we may be approaching a time where this whole thing is going to begin to unravel. Under any circumstances, get out of debt, prepare yourself for some difficult times, and of course, keep your eyes firmly focused on the Lord, because behind everything that's going on today is that eternal spiritual battle between good and evil, which of course has always been there since the Garden of Eden, and I think it's being played out today as we move towards a new world order and a new world religion. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America and to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival in this country, because unless this country returns to God, God is going to abandon America. And lastly, we ask you to remember my ministry, Radio Liberty. Pray for our provision and protection, because believe me, we do come under spiritual attack. And lastly, of course, we'll be back with you next Monday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.